Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Workers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 10th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Disney shares surge as earnings blow past estimates.
Credit Suisse slumps after posting its biggest quarterly loss in 4 years.
Wall Street braces for the latest reading on hot inflation.
And economist Susan Collins becomes the first black woman to head a Federal Reserve Bank.
The National Archives wants the DOJ to investigate Donald Trump's handling of the White House records, plus the easing of mask requirements in the tri-state area. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow. Our upset wins for Seton Hall and Rutgers. The Islanders won, and Nathan Chen and Chloe Kim won Olympic gold medals.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Farron Moskow, and U.S. stock index futures are mixed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures higher, up 64, and NASDAQ futures are down 37. 10-year Treasury, little change. They yield 1.93%. They yield on the 2-year, 1.34%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 76 cents at $90.42 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $2.30 at $1834.20 an ounce. And Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $44,650. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we begin this morning with earnings and a huge surge in Disney shares. They're up more than 7.5% in early trading. The world's largest entertainment company reported first quarter sales, earnings, and streaming subscriber growth that all beat estimates. We spoke with Disney CEO Bob Chapek after the results.
We're full of optimism. We think that we've got a lot of energy and momentum. We've got a vision for the future, a vision where we're going to appeal directly to our audience using technology and great storytelling. And we really think that it's going to be a more exciting next 100 years than even our stellar first 100 years.
Disney CEO Bob Chapek spoke with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
We have some other stocks on the move this morning here, Nathan. That's following earnings after the bell. And we get the details live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, Uber shares up 5% in pre-market trading, and her fourth quarter revenue beat estimates. The ride-hailing giant saw little disruption from the Omicron variant, and that led to the most active users in its history. Mattel shares up 11% this morning. The toy maker reporting sales and profit that blew past forecasts. Mattel's outlook also came in above predictions. Shares of Twilio, they're soaring up 19% of the pre-market. The infrastructure software company's fourth quarter results and first quarter forecast beat expectations. Of 326 companies in the S&P 500 that have reported their earnings so far, 77% have had positive surprises. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. And the earnings continue to roll in with 30 companies reporting today. Twitter is one of the biggest names on the list. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The microblogging site reports fourth quarter earnings later this morning, the first earnings report under new CEO Parag Agrawal, who took over for founder Jack Dorsey in late November. Twitter makes most of its revenue from advertising, so key for investors is how the company will navigate those new privacy changes from Apple, which require explicit permission from users to target ads on its devices. Bloomberg forecasting revenue of $1.58 billion and adjusted earnings of 32 cents a share. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom. Overseas this morning, shares of Credit Suisse are down more than 4.5%. The Swiss bank posted its biggest quarterly loss in about 4 years, and CEO Thomas Gottstein is warning that higher costs for pay and its restructuring will weigh on results all year.
We also included a new form of compensation in terms of our SDP, Strategic Delivery Plan, and this was very well received by our employees. And Credit Suisse is very committed to pay market rates in terms of compensation.
Credit Suisse CEO Thomas Gottstein says the company is focused on implementing a new strategy after scandals involving Archegos Capital Management and Greensill Capital.
Shares of Unilever are also in focus this morning, Karen. They are down right now more than 4.5%. The company is warning inflation will dent profitability for 2 years. Unilever says commodity costs are rising by more than 20% across the consumer goods industry.
Well, speaking of prices, Nathan, we're set for the next reading on inflation here in the U.S. The government releases the Consumer Price Index for January at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a reading of 7.2% year over year. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
January's Consumer Price Index won't lead the Fed to any kind of decision, but it will offer guidance about what they'll need to do down the road. Much of the jump in inflation has come from goods rather than services, as Americans flush with stimulus cash, stayed home, and bought things instead of experiences. The Omicron outbreak last month probably kept that trend in place, but we did see inventories rising at the end of last year, which could mean some easing in transportation and bottleneck costs. Economists will also check the reopening trade, cars, insurance, lodging, airfares, and food, to see if prices are still rising. And finally, housing. Home prices up 17.5% through November 2021 will be feeding into the CPI for some time, even if higher interest rates start to slow home sales. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We're also watching the Fed for another reason this morning. History is being made at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. We get that story live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The Boston Fed has named University of Michigan economist Susan Collins as its next president. She becomes the first black woman to lead one of the central bank's 12 districts, and she'll replace Eric Rosengren, who stepped down last year. Collins, who earned a doctorate in economics at MIT, drew support from many, including former Fed Vice Chair Alan Blinder.
I certainly think she's in the mainstream among economists, among liberal, left of center economists, but certainly not far left. I mean, she's really in the mainstream, and I think that's basically where the Federal Reserve is these days.
Former Fed Vice Chair and current Princeton University professor Alan Blinder says Collins has every asset for the job and no liabilities. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We also got earnings crossing the Bloomberg terminal from PepsiCo. It's forecasting organic revenue for 2022 that beat the average analyst estimate, and shares of PepsiCo right now up 1.5%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 40 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with a closure on the eastern spur of the southbound New Jersey Turnpike. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The National Archives is asking the Justice Department to investigate whether former President Donald Trump violated federal law in the handling of documents. Then President Trump tore up some of them. The archives also transported 15 boxes of documents from Mar-a-Lago after Trump representatives located them and notified the archives. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
The referral by the National Archive does not mean that there's necessarily going to be a criminal investigation of Trump or his advisors. It's simply a suggestion that someone needs to look into what happened here.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. The New York Times reports the Inspector General reached out to the Justice Department after they discovered what's believed to be classified documents that Trump took from the White House. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will end a COVID-19 mask mandate, requiring face coverings in most indoor public settings, but will keep masking rules in place in schools for now. The state would drop its mask mandate for most businesses. Hochul says the number of supporters leave the question of masks to individual locales.
We saw those numbers literally off the charts, and now those numbers are coming down, and it is time to adapt.
Hochul has been saying she wants to see vaccination rates for children increase before she gets rid of a state requirement for masks in schools. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont proposed a $24.2 billion budget for the fiscal year starting July 1st. It boosts spending for state colleges and universities whose enrollment has dropped during the pandemic. Lamont, in his State of the State address, also announced tax cuts on automobiles.
3 years ago, we were standing at the edge of a fiscal cliff, facing a $3.7 billion budget deficit, and today we're deciding what taxes to cut and what school programs to grow, thanks to our third consecutive budget year of budget surpluses.
Governor Lamont also says the state has earned the right to no longer have a statewide mask mandate in schools. It's good news for the New York City subway system. It carried more than 3 million customers on Tuesday, the busiest since the Omicron variant hit the city.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, U.S. finally winning some hardware at the Olympics. Took 5 days before their first gold medal, but now two more, including a second in women's snowboarding. Chloe Kim became a breakout star when at age 17 she won the halfpipe 4 years ago. She's admitted to suffering from some depression as she dealt with newfound fame. In fact, Kim said at one point she threw her gold medal in the trash before then retrieving it. She was all smiles in Beijing as she cruised to victory, just as Nathan Chen did in men's figure skating at the Super Bowl in L.A. Commissioner Roger Goodell, with his annual State of the Game press conference, he promised the league would do better in minority hiring. He was asked what that would entail.
Everything from looking at the Rooney Rule and seeing what changes should be made to that, if any changes, or should it be removed, which some people have suggested. All of those things are part of that. We're going to talk to other people, have independent people come in and look and help us evaluate it, because it's sometimes hard to evaluate your own policies and procedures.
Goodell admitted that one-time stand-up comic Byron Allen, now a media mogul, is in talks to buy the Denver Broncos and become the NFL's first African-American owner. NBA trade deadline, 3 o'clock today. Still a lot of James Harden for Ben Simmons rumors. That would be a blockbuster if the Nets and Sixers pulled the trigger. The Nets have lost their last nine. They play at Washington tonight. Knicks are at Golden State. Warriors lost last night at Utah by 26. Islanders, a 5-goal first period, a 6-3 win at Vancouver. Two top 25 teams lost in New Jersey as Rutgers knocked off Ohio State by 2. Just as Seton Hall beat Xavier by 2. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures now down 4 points. Dow futures moving higher. They're up 61 now. NASDAQ futures still lower, down 44 points. 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield, 1.93%. More states lift mask mandates. Is now the time to move on from COVID? We'll check in next with Andy Petkos at Johns Hopkins. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are slipping and European stocks little changed as investors shift into defensive mode ahead of a key inflation data that may shape views on how aggressively the Fed will tighten monetary policy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points this morning. NASDAQ futures also lower, down 39. Dow futures higher, up 66. And the DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. European stocks actually doing a little better now. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.94%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.34%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25%, up $1.10 at $90.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1%, or $2.50 at $18.34.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1438 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3572. The yen's at 115.80. And Bitcoin this morning at $44,700. It's up about 0.5%. We're also watching shares of PepsiCo this morning, up 1.5% in early trading. It gave a full-year sales outlook ahead of estimates as the company raises prices on salty snacks and bottled beverages. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Russia and Belarus began their largest joint military drills in years today. Russia has repeatedly denied it plans to invade Ukraine after the U.S. and its NATO allies warned of a buildup of about 130,000 Russian troops near the border. Figure skater Nathan Chen and snowboarder Chloe Kim, both of the U.S., won gold. The U.S. has 3 gold medals so far. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Always root for the Nathans. Thank you, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get to the latest on the pandemic now as we watch more states ease masking rules with the Omicron wave passing. Now the Centers for Disease Disease Control says it's working on updating its guidance. Andy Pekosch is with us now, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Great to have you with us as always, doctor. And of course, New York State and Massachusetts have gotten a lot of attention this week for the moves they're making to ease mask mandates. We've heard from Dr. Fauci saying we're moving past the full-blown pandemic phase of COVID-19. Is now the time to move on?
Well, one really has to look locally at what's happening with transmission rates in different states. We're in a period right now where looking at numbers across the nation hides a lot of variability that's present in state to states in terms of where we are in this Omicron peak. There are some states at really high level still, other states that have really dropped down quickly. So it really starts with what your local conditions are. And we have to keep in mind that we don't want to let our foot off the gas too early because we then risk a bit of a bounce back in cases. So as case numbers are dropping, as testing capacity reaches a comfortable level where we can really monitor cases and have results back quickly, we should be able to reduce some of these public health restrictions.
Well, if it's going to come down to the local level, doctor, where does the CDC fit in and their guidance? How can they shift their guidance to bring the focus to the local level? Well, is that possible?
It absolutely is possible. You know, what CDC can be doing is providing the parameters that have to be met in order for restrictions on public health to be considered to be lifted. And that has to be clearly elicited, and that has to be sort of detail-oriented as well, too. Just because case numbers start to drop, that alone shouldn't be a trigger to relieve public health interventions, because that really is a recipe for disaster in terms of a bounce back. So have to wait till levels get low. CDC should be providing that guidance as to what are the parameters that define quote-unquote low.
Now, how would you define those parameters? Are there some simple parameters that you can lay out that make sense to you?
Well, first and foremost, always make sure that hospital capacity is not reaching maximum, because, again, we want to make sure that our healthcare system is not overloaded. If we get test positivity rates down to about 2.5%, if case numbers are down to reasonable numbers, let's say numbers that we saw sort of in early summer last year, then those are all parameters that could tell you that, okay, it's fine to restrict or to lift restrictions and get back to some normal, with the caveat, of course, that we still keep monitoring for cases and for variants and for the emergence of variants in case those are early signs that we should be worried about a new wave.
Yeah, I wonder whether we can kind of keep two parameters like that when we see vaccination levels at where they are at this point. It kind of seems as though full vaccination has plateaued in this country. Can we maintain sort of lower levels of spread given where we are in vaccinations?
It's going to be a challenge, particularly because, you know, we've got to understand more clearly what kind of an immune response an Omicron infection is inducing in people. You know, in this country, we have a lot of people who were not vaccinated but infected with Omicron. We really need to study those immune responses and see if those people will be protected from other variants or if they're more susceptible to new variants coming through. That's going to be a critical thing that scientists are looking at over the next couple of weeks that would give us a better idea of what this population immunity we have in the U.S. is really going to do in terms of limiting future surges.
So in our last 30 seconds or so here, what should the vaccination focus be at this point? If full vaccination has plateaued, what's the next step?
Well, the important thing is to look at some of the populations that are really under-vaccinated. And for all the enthusiasm some parents have had to immunize their kids, there's a large number of parents that also are a little bit hesitant about vaccinating their children. So looking at children as a population that has a lot of uninfected people, a lot of susceptibles, is important. And then pushing the message that even if you've been infected, you should get a dose of vaccine, because the data shows that vaccination after infection gives you an even stronger and broader immune response that's going to protect you from future variants.
Always good to get your insights, Dr. Pekosch. Thanks again. Andy Pekosch is professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio's parent company, Bloomberg LP. S&P futures now down 4 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures are lower by 40 points. The 10-year Treasury yield right now 1.93%. Just ahead, blowout earnings for Disney and a historic new regional Fed president. The five things you need to know to start your day up next on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly to mostly sunny today, upper 40s. We'll be in the upper 40s again tomorrow, low 50s by Saturday. Then everything changes for Super Bowl Sunday when we could have light snow. Right now it's 40 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.58%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, earnings and inflation are front and center, and we begin with earnings. Shares of Disney are up more than 7.5% this morning. After first quarter sales, profit, and streaming subscriber growth all beat estimates, CEO Bob Chapek is optimistic, especially about Disney+.
We're going to actually add more subs in the second half of the year than the first half of the year. So we're very encouraged by that. Again, it'll still be choppier than a perfect linear line. But, when you have great storytelling and great brands like we do, it's going to draw a lot of people across the globe. So we're excited about that.
Disney CEO Bob Chapek says subscriptions for Disney Plus are now approaching 130 million.
And we got some other stocks on the move this morning on After the Bell earnings, Karen. We'll get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Uber shares up about 5% in pre-market trading. Fourth quarter revenue topped estimates. The ride-hailing giant reported the most active users in its history. Mattel shares up about 11%. Revenue and earnings at the toy maker also beat estimates. And so did the company's forecast. And Twilio shares jumping 19% at pre-market trading. The infrastructure software company reported fourth quarter results that beat expectations and forecast revenue ahead of the consensus. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. In Europe this morning, shares of Credit Suisse are down more than 5%. The bank posted its biggest quarterly loss in about 4 years after a large restructuring and litigation charges.
Mike, here in the U.S., the focus this morning is on inflation. Karen, economists predict a CPI reading for January of 7.2% year over year.
And it's a historic day at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Nathan. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The Boston Fed has named University of Michigan economist Susan Collins as its next president. She becomes the first black woman to lead one of the central bank's 12 districts. And she'll replace Eric Rosengren, who stepped down last year. Collins, who's earned a doctorate in economics at MIT, drew support from many, including former vice chair of the Fed and current Princeton University professor Alan Blinder. He says Collins has every asset for the job and no liabilities. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 39 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident investigation. Eastern Spur, the southbound New Jersey Turnpike. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York turned a corner in its coronavirus response. New York Governor Kathy Hochul lifted the statewide requirement to wear a mask indoors or show businesses proof of vaccination. However, Governor Hochul will wait on mask requirements for schools until after kids return from February break.
We are going to make an assessment that first week in March based on all the metrics.
Governor Hochul says the positivity rate is down and hospitalizations are also down. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont is proposing a revised state budget that includes tax cuts and more funding for mental health services. Lamont is calling it Connecticut's comeback budget.
3 years ago, I stood before you as a new governor, and today, the state's in much better shape than we were 3 years ago, but we still have a long way to go.
During his State of the State address, Governor Lamont also proposed that the $24.2 billion budget boost spending for state colleges and universities. President Joe Biden has met with the heads of the nation's largest power companies with an eye toward climate change. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The president says these companies have to be at the forefront of the U.S. effort to cut emissions.
CEOs know exactly why clean energy future matters. It's an incredible opportunity for our country. And they know how urgent it is to get this done. And they've been, they've been key partners throughout this entire process.
Biden telling the companies their role will be crucial for the future of the country and the globe. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The National Archives is asking the Justice Department to investigate whether former President Donald Trump violated federal law in the handling of documents. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson says the probe is not a surprise.
He took 15 boxes to his private residence at Mar-a-Lago. Some of those had documents that definitely should have gone to the National Archives. And then he had the habit of ripping up documents.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin took the stand for the first time in the trial of her defamation suit against the New York Times. Palin will return today in Manhattan federal court. Palin is suing the Times over a 2017 editorial that suggested she helped incite a deadly 2011 shooting in Tucson, Arizona. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, at the Olympics, two U.S. gold medals, both won by heavily favored Americans with Asian heritage. They both attend Ivy League schools. Nathan Chen, since finishing a disappointing fifth 4 years ago, has nearly completed his degree at Yale, and he's won almost every competition. He won the men's figure skating easily, just as Chloe Kim, who goes to Princeton, became the first female to win two half-pipe gold. Roger Goodell met the Super Bowl media, his first public comment since the Brian Flores lawsuit that alleged Dolphins owner Stephen Ross offered Flores bonus money for each game that Miami lost.
I found all of the allegations, whether they were based on racism or discrimination or the integrity of our game, all of those to me were very disturbing. They are very serious matters to us on all levels. And we need to make sure we get to the bottom of all of them.
Goodell announced the NFL will play a game next year in Munich. After the Super Bowl and the Olympics, next big event, NCAA tournament. Seton Hall, Rutgers, both hoping to get an invite, both helped their cause with two-point victories at home against top 25 teams. The Pirates top Xavier, the Scarlet Knights beat Ohio State. UConn women lost a Big East game to Villanova. UConn had not lost a regular season conference game in 9 years. Big first period for the Islanders. They scored five times and won 6-3 at Vancouver. One-time Ranger Marty Saint-Louis named the interim coach of the Montreal Canadiens, who fired Dominique Ducharme. The Canadiens played in last year's Stanley Cup final. This season, they are 8-30. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us. And Kriti, the Disney magic is back.
Mickey Mouse would be proud. Let's just say that, Nathan. Disney, absolutely. DIS is your ticker, up just shy of 8%. The subscriber growth numbers, that's really where all the action is, up to 129 million subscribers. The estimate there was 125 million. Nathan, this is huge because 70% of Disney's revenue comes from their media, their entertainment, their studio business. So this subscriber growth is really encouraging, especially in light of the kind of deceleration that you've seen in Netflix as well. And on top of that, the other 30% that came from their parks revenue, well, you can see that people taking a little bit more vacations, a little bit more travel, and now they're vaccinated and boosted. So that actually playing into Disney's bottom line quite well. The other big piece of their equation is that international growth. 35% of their subscribers now, their global subscribers, comes from India's partnership with Hotstar. So you do actually have their fastest growing market, not in the United States. It's actually India, and it once again is helping them boost their bottom line. But they are not alone, Nathan. We got to talk about Uber here. UBER is your ticker, up just shy of 4%. A revenue beat and an all-time record for the number of users. 118 million users now using the platform. Good news for Uber. This is actually way better results than what Lyft had yesterday. So you did see Lyft kind of say, miss on their rider estimates, Uber beating on them and making a profit off of that. Lyft, however, though, trading higher in sympathy. LYFT is your ticker, up 0.7%, Nathan.
Yeah, earnings surprises all around this morning after the bell. We got more earnings this morning, Creedy.
Yeah, PepsiCo. You know, I love this one because if you are a nerd like me, you can nerd out into PepsiCo's kind of financials, and they have this really great ratio, which is the snack to drink ratio, which was perfect for kind of the pandemic, right? Because when people were out and about, they would, you know, grab a Coke or grab a, sorry, not a Coke, grab a Pepsi. I'm a Coke girl, you can tell. Grab a Pepsi, like, on the go. I know, I'm it's a scandal. Grab a Pepsi on the go, grab a Starbucks coffee on the go or whatever. Or, but then in the pandemic, in the lockdown, they would kind of stock up on snacks, Doritos, Lay's, whatever. So that ratio has kind of been a bit of a pandemic play, if you will. Nevertheless, they are actually beating their earnings and unveiling plans to raise their dividend by 7%. And on top of that, the cherry on top of a pretty good Sunday, a buyback of up to $10 billion in stock. So PEP is your ticker there, up 1.1%, Nathan.
All right, we'll take the soda versus pop debate off air. Thanks, Creedy. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with us this morning. As we look at stocks as a whole, ahead of the open and ahead of the CPI data coming out this morning, futures are kind of mixed. We have S&P futures now down 5 points. Dow futures moving higher, up 50. NASDAQ futures still lower, down 35 points. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield, 1.93%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.34%. Lots of developments this morning in the nation's capital. We'll check in next with Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine, upper 40s today. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, upper 40s. Low 50s by Saturday. Light snow possible Super Bowl Sunday. Right now, 39 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures are moving lower this morning. We go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures higher by 32 points. Like you said, S&P futures trading lower by 7, while the NASDAQ futures are down by 44. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.94%. Gold is little change. Oil is climbing, and Bitcoin is higher by 1.2%. European markets are in the green this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and January CPI. After the bell last night, Disney had an upside surprise on theme parks and Disney Plus subscriber. Uber Q4 revenue beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, Pepsi beat on organic sales and announced a new buyback and a dividend boost. Wrapping things up, American Express was raised to outperform over at Daiwa. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The protest over COVID restrictions blocking freight traffic from Detroit into Canada is starting to hit crucial supply chains. Ford was forced to idle a Canadian engine factory and operate an assembly plant at reduced capacity. Bob Saget died of head trauma. That's according to a statement from the family of the comedian, who say apparently Saget accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. The U.S. has won 3 gold medals so far at the Beijing Olympics, including by figure skater Nathan Chen and snowboarder Chloe Kim. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league will deal with discrimination in a serious way if he finds team violations. In the NHL, the Islanders won. In the NBA, the Warriors lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Nominations. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The United States finally has an ambassador to Germany, after the Senate this week confirmed Amy Guttman. It's obviously dysfunctional for the U.S. to go without an ambassador to a major world power and ally for more than a year, and for the Senate to take 7 months to get it done. Republicans continue to filibuster every judicial and executive branch nomination, forcing relatively low-priority but still important picks to languish. Almost 200 critical nominations are stuck in the Senate, and about 70 are only awaiting a final vote. They are being filibustered. All of this is senseless. Republicans aren't going to win a single extra vote because, say, the Department of Transportation chief financial officer had to wait a few extra months to be confirmed. Nor will such a delay prevent policies that Republicans dislike from being implemented. Republicans haven't gained anything by dragging their feet on a key ambassador, and Democrats haven't lost anything. But the Senate has lost something, and so has the nation as a whole. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. New York State is dropping its mask mandate for most businesses today. The number of COVID cases statewide has plunged 93% from its peak during the Omicron surge. New York is still leaving mask mandates in schools in place, while neighboring states have begun to ease such rules as COVID infections and hospitalizations fall. CVS Health says demand for COVID tests and vaccines is expected to fade this year as the virus appears to recede after the Omicron variant infected millions of people in recent months. The drugstore giant expects to administer about half as many virus tests and up to 80% fewer shots this year compared with 2021. And SpaceX's newest fleet of satellites is tumbling out of orbit after being struck by a solar storm. Up to 40 of the 49 small satellites launched last week have either re-entered the atmosphere and burned up or are on the verge of doing so. SpaceX says a geomagnetic storm last Friday made the atmosphere denser, which increased the drag on the Starlink satellites, effectively dooming them. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include bipartisan pushback for a stock trading ban idea on Capitol Hill, President Biden's Fed pick trying to clear her view on the central bank's role in climate policy, and the National Archives finding former President Donald Trump may have taken classified material with him to Mar-a-Lago. Also making news, some breaking news concerning Saudi Arabia and former President Trump's son-in-law. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joins us now from our Bloomberg 99.1 studio in Washington, D.C. Jack, good to have you with us. So what is this news we're hearing about Jared Kushner?
Well, so the news that has just come up is that Kushner in recent weeks has actually met with Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. I would point out it's notable not only that you see a former Trump administration who has that personal relationship with the crown prince continuing to talk with him, but it really sort of shows a contrast when you had President Biden calling to discuss OPEC and the Iran nuclear negotiations, King Salman, because the Biden administration really has made it very clear they're looking to deal with the king and not the crown prince. I guess it shows some mixed messages from the U.S. This was conversations between Kushner regarding potential energy investments. He went to Saudi Aramco in recent weeks. It's notable to see the continuing communication, controversial relationship, but continuing communication between a close ally of former President Trump and a former administration official with the crown prince.
And speaking of controversy surrounding the former president, it seems like this issue around the National Archives and the records the president took with him to Mar-a-Lago after he left the White House, it just seems to be mounting, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, the latest on that is that the National Archives actually went to the Justice Department following up with what they believed was classified information that the former president had and had taken with him from the White House. It's still too early to say if this would lead to a Justice Department investigation. But, you know, for one, we've heard from Carolyn Maloney has said publicly, she's the chief chair of the House Oversight has said publicly this is the kind of thing that should be investigated. I would note the New York Times reporting on this has mentioned that some feedback from the Justice Department was this could be handled by the Inspector General for the National Archives. So it's unclear exactly how much this heats up, but clearly quite a bit of back and forth on what appears to be potentially some improper handling of documents on the former president's way out.
There's so much going on right now, it seems, in Washington, D.C. Can you give us an update on this push to ban stock trading on Capitol Hill? It seems like there's a bit of pushback now.
Yeah, well, as we get into the details, there is some pushback. I would say when we heard from the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer effectively endorsing the broader idea, and from Speaker Pelosi saying that this is something that a committee, the House Administration Committee, should look into, the broader idea seems to be getting momentum. But as it develops, there's some pushback or at least some warnings that the details are really not going to be easy to iron out. The questions would be, you know, does this mean a ban on holding stocks, or is it something along the lines of a blind trust? Would this affect family members? Would it affect the spouses of members of Congress? Would it affect congressional staff? There are some varying proposals. The general idea of a bill coming up seems to have some momentum, but there's bipartisan warnings, at least, that it's not quite as simple as it may sound at first.
All right, Bloomberg Government Congressional Reporter Jack Fitzpatrick, thanks for being with us for the update from Washington, D.C. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington. We're at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. February is Black History Month, and every day this month, we're celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for February 10th, here is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1989, attorney Ron Brown becomes the first African-American elected national chairman of the Democratic Party. As chairman, Brown played a key role in securing the 1992 election of Bill Clinton, who was the first Democrat to win the U.S. presidency since Jimmy Carter in 1976. So in 1993, Clinton nominated Brown as Commerce Secretary. And when the Senate confirmed him, Brown became the first Black person to hold that cabinet post in U.S. history. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're watching earnings from Coca-Cola crossing the Bloomberg. It looks like fourth quarter profit beat analyst estimates, and it sees organic revenue that could come in just below analyst estimates, and that's why shares are moving lower in early trading. They're down about 0.8% because it's seeing organic revenue at about 7 to 8%, while analysts were looking for about 8.4%. That is for 2022. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.